Have you ever watched wrestling on TV and felt disappointed? The long mic interviews, boring storylines, exaggerated drama. Do you wish there was less talking and a whole lot more action? Well, at Underground Wrestler, they deliver wrestling the way it should be. Muscle pounding, vein popping, sweat dripping, non-stop action. Whether you're into good old-fashioned mat wrestling, schoolboy pins, tie-ups, cradles, and submissions, or no holds barred and choking, at Underground Wrestler, they include multiple styles of wrestling matches for anyone to enjoy. Squash matches, theme matches, bear hug battles, big versus little, and sleeper matches, just to name a few. Their high definition wrestling matches average around 20 minutes. That's longer than most matches you see on TV. They also offer more settings than just a regular wrestling ring. Their wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes, from the 5'6", 140 pounds to the 6'3", 320 pound individuals. One thing they all have in common is muscle. Models, athletes, bodybuilders, even world-renowned professional wrestlers joined in on the excitement. Ever wished of creating your own dream wrestling match? At Underground Wrestler, they can make that happen with their custom video series. You are in the director's chair picking the wrestlers, location, their costumes, and the script, including wrestling moves you want to see. Their staff will work diligently with you to help make all your wrestling dreams a reality. So check out the Underground Wrestler at patreon.com/undergroundwrestler. That's patreon.com/undergroundwrestler. And you can check them out on Instagram at Underground Wrestler. Also on Twitter at Underground WRE1. That's Underground WRE1. And also at their website at undergroundwrestler.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Once again, I am your host. Thank you for joining me. And very special show today. I have a guest that I spoke with, and she was awesome to talk to. We talked about TLC. A little bit of nostalgia thrown in, you know, what got you into wrestling, and really just, you know, wrestling, especially when you have someone who's really intelligent about it and is passionate about it, you can just talk to them forever. And, you know, I didn't want to keep her from her workout at the gym, and trust me, I could have, we spoke for about 40 minutes, but we could have gone, oh my God, hours. It's just one of those deals, and she was awesome, and so I think you'll enjoy the show today. Yes, we get into TLC and even the main event of WrestleMania 20 or 35. So all of that, which, by the way, WrestleMania 35, I'm working on attending. It's just 3 hours from me, so that will be something that I'm working on getting tickets for. And, maybe Santa will bring them. Hear that, Santa? Yeah. All right, so guys, thank you again for joining me, and this is the WWE Podcast. That means this is the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web. This is not a franchise podcast. This is an independent podcast, if you will. And this is run by a fan for fans. And so thank you for joining me. Lots of options out there. So thank you again. And you can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And I'm on available on pretty much any podcast app you have. Really, like anything. I know I list them every single time I come on here, but name a podcast app, I'm probably on it. Whether it's Pod Bay or Dog Catcher or Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, or what's the other, some other good ones here. Oh, iTunes, or not iTunes, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, guys, I'm there. I'm also on Patreon. It's WWE Podcast on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/WWE Podcast, that is where you get my ad-free versions of this show. I know that there are ads in the show. I get it. Sometimes I listen to podcasts that have ads and I skip through them, but Other times I'm like, hey, listen, I'd rather just listen to this ad-free and not have to worry about skipping ads and, you know, all that. So if you don't like my ads and you're just tired of listening to them, there's your solution, patreon.com/WWE podcast. And for just a dollar, a buck, 99 cents. Well, okay, no, not 99 cents. Dollar. So if you go to the dollar menu at McDonald's, you could get my podcast ad-free for a month for the price of a cheeseburger at McDonald's. Yeah, that's a deal. That is a deal. So I really encourage you to check that out, though. I do like being able to give you guys that option because ads are a pain in the neck. So, guys, I did touch on TLC with Ashley, and we had a great conversation. I will tell you, I did enjoy TLC. Okay, I loved the fact that the women closed the show. I think that's appropriate. Ronda, folks, did not turn heel, so we touch on that a bit. I don't think that she did. Everybody can calm down, but I will say, when Ronda does turn heel, look out. I think she's going to make an awesome heel. Just keep that in mind as you go through that. We didn't touch on every single match, and to be honest with you, I think it would bore you to go through every single match. We touch on some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, and really just what stuck out. What are the big talking points coming out of TLC as we roll into the road to WrestleMania already? It's crazy, crazy that we're already at the road to WrestleMania, but we're here, guys. And I have not seen Vince McMahon. I have not seen any of Raw yet. So if you're like, hey, what do you think about Vince's announcement? I haven't seen it yet. So I will try to give you my thoughts on that tomorrow or on Wednesday. And then obviously review SmackDown. It's the week before Christmas, so I'm still going to give you guys your audio needs as best I can. And then obviously with next week being Christmas and all that, it's going to be, I don't want to say throwaway shows for WWE, but they're typically throwaway shows for WWE. I mean, the creative team is clearly on a creative slumber, if you will, until the first of the year. And so next week will be no exception. I don't know if there will be much to talk about next week, but hey, maybe this whole shakeup is Vince McMahon saying, we're doing a live Christmas show. I mean, who knows? I don't know. So, guys, I really hope you enjoy the show. I want to be able to do this more than just have you guys hear my voice and hear my voice and hear my voice. It's good to have a little bit of, I think, diversity in the show. I'm all about diversity and inclusion. So going to take a quick commercial break, but immediately following the break, it's all WWE talk. Stay tuned. Have you ever watched wrestling on TV and felt disappointed? The long mic interviews, boring storylines, exaggerated drama. Do you wish there was less talking and a whole lot more action? Well, at Underground Wrestler, they deliver wrestling the way it should be. Muscle pounding, vein popping, sweat dripping, non-stop action. Whether you're into good old-fashioned mat wrestling, schoolboy pins, tie-ups, cradles, and submissions, or no-holds-barred and choking, at Underground Wrestler, they include multiple styles of wrestling matches for anyone to enjoy. Squash matches, theme matches, bear hug battles, big versus little, and sleeper matches, just to name a few. Their high-definition wrestling matches average around 20 minutes. That's longer than most matches you see on TV. They also offer more settings than just a regular wrestling ring. Their wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes, from the 5'6", 140 pounds to the 6'3", 320 pound individuals. One thing they all have in common is muscle. Models, athletes, bodybuilders, even world-renowned professional wrestlers joined in on the excitement. Ever wished of creating your own dream wrestling match? At Underground Wrestler, they can make that happen with their custom video series. You are in the director's chair picking the wrestlers, location, their costumes, and the script, including wrestling moves you want to see. Their staff will work diligently with you to help make all your wrestling dreams a reality. So check out the Underground Wrestler at patreon.com/undergroundwrestler. That's patreon.com/undergroundwrestler. And you can check them out on Instagram at Underground Wrestler. Also on Twitter at Underground WRE1. That's Underground WRE1. And also at their website at undergroundwrestler.com. Okay, guys, welcome back. And right now I am with Ashley, and she is from Richmond, Virginia. We connected on Twitter, and a fellow passionate wrestling fan. And it's always cool to get a different voice on the show than just hearing mine drone on for sometimes 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes. So at this time, I would like to welcome Ashley to the WWE podcast. How are you doing, Ashley?
Hey, doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
No. It's great to have you here. So basic question, and I think it's something, it's always an interesting, really cool question to ask, is how did you get into wrestling? How long have you been a fan, and what drew you to the product?
Oh, man. So I've probably been watching wrestling for about close to 20 years now. I think it started around the age of like 5, 6, or 7, so maybe even a little longer than 20 years, but from what I can definitely remember, it was obviously like the Attitude Era. One of the first things I remember seeing is The Rock and Mick Foley, This Is Your Life segment. So right around that time frame is when I really got like engulfed with everything. And then I've just been slightly obsessed ever since, you know, through the good and the bad times, of course.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned that the very first segment that comes to mind is the highest rated segment of all time on Monday Night Raw. And you go from that to the lowest rated Raw of all time last week. That's just funny. A fall from grace from ratings perspective for WWE.
Sure.
That is one of the earliest memories you have. Do you have anything that, you know, things that you love when you look back and you're like, oh, wow, that's just something that will stick with you forever that you can draw on, that's just one of those moments you'll never forget?
Oh, gosh. I think the first thing that comes to mind, well, I guess maybe the first two, and I guess they're kind of similar in some ways. The first time Eddie, and this is a few years later, obviously, but the first time Eddie won his heavyweight championship against Brock Lesnar, I believe it was No Way Out.
Yes.
I just remember that feeling and that happiness, because you really were with him through every point of his career, you know, and just like you could really see him just ascend from the middle to lower card all the way to the top, and just everything he had gone through personally. It was just one of those like ultimate feel good moments, and man, just like seeing him like jump into the crowd and everyone was just so happy. It was just such a genuine moment. So that really always stuck out to me. And then kind of the same thing with Jeff Hardy, because Jeff Hardy has always been one of my favorites. So when he won his championship, I believe that was a triple threat with Triple H and Edge at Armageddon. That, again, was just kind of similar in the same aspect, but just knowing how much Jeff had gone through and that the company believed in him and stuck with him, and he finally got to that mountaintop. So just things like that, I think right off the bat, that's what probably sticks out the most.
That is awesome. That, you know, and I haven't thought about that in a while, and that Eddie Guerrero, that first time that he won the championship. I mean, obviously Goldberg interfered and all of that, but that's not what you remember. You know, you remember just the crowd erupting from beating Brock Lesnar. And you know, unfortunately, or actually, I don't know if it's unfortunate or kind of a cool thing, that was one of the highlight parts of his package when he passed. Was that, and the song they played with it, man, I mean, it was emotional. So I totally agree. And now you're going to make me want to go back and watch that after like tonight. That might be what I watch, is that.
Awesome.
So no, that's really cool. So now, you know, I mean, you fast forward now. I mean, there's a lot that has happened between that 2004 time frame to 2018. I mean, you're talking 14 years. You've seen all the way from the Attitude Era to the TV PG era to Ruthless Aggression, all the way now to this, I don't know how they're dubbing it, the reality era, which is funny because it's anything but reality TV that they're producing,
right?
You know? So it's kind of ironic. So, I mean, you know, right now, you know, we're talking about what is grabbing you. And I have a feeling of what is possibly engaging you and most other fans. But you fast forward to 2018, what are the things that you're interested in? What are the good things? We'll get to the criticisms, but what are the really good things about WWE that you're liking right now?
I mean, obvious, and it's probably, you know, the answer that the majority of people would give right now, but it's Becky Lynch, man. Just Becky Lynch is on fire, and I've been a fan of her since the beginning. Just seeing her journey through everything, and just listening to like some recent interviews she's done, you know, talking about how she had stopped for about 7 years, I believe it was, and just seeing her, well, obviously she's not the champ after last night, but seeing her story on the way up there too, but just, man, just seeing how she's just changing everything and how they're really focusing on the women's division now and just allowing them to have more time on the TV and just, like, devote more attention to them and not just, like, the cliche things, you know, like back in the day, like in the Attitude Era where it was, like, bra and panties matches and just things like that, like obnoxious things, but just actually letting them be wrestlers. So that right now is what's pretty much, like, hooking me right now with the current product and just keeping me, you know, tuned in every week. Obviously, SmackDown is much better than Raw lately, which is probably something to do with Becky Lynch as well. But then again, speaking of SmackDown as well, Daniel Bryan, man, the new Daniel Bryan, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. I was a little concerned at first, but, man, so far so good.
And it's, you know, you hit on a couple things there, and everything that I've been really echoing in my shows the past few weeks is that, you know, Becky Lynch, it's similar to what you just brought up with the Eddie Guerrero deal. I mean, it's the same dynamic where people are on that journey. People saw the ups and downs. They saw the misbookings. That, you know, she really carved out her legacy and really earned her respect in front of the fans throughout the how many years she's been on the main roster now. And it was the same thing with Eddie. And when you have that organic connection and she makes that turn and she gets an edge and it's believable and she just is a pure badass now. I mean, people have been using her to compare Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, it's crazy what's happening right now. And to see what they've done from the bra and panties matches to now, it's almost laughable what they did with the women back then to all of a sudden we're talking about the women main eventing WrestleMania. And it's believable and it's not doesn't feel forced. I mean, if you put Ronda in there with Becky Lynch, I don't think there's anybody that would disagree that that is worthy of the main event of WrestleMania right now. It's just so awesome that this is happening in the time that we're able to watch the product. Don't tell that to Saudi Arabia, of course. I mean, they have a different view on all this.
Right,
you know,
sure.
Or of course, WWE will just pretend that they don't have any pay-per-views in Saudi Arabia anymore. You know, that is awesome. You know, and the Daniel Bryan thing too is people have really been, I think, receptive to this turn where Daniel Bryan's not that cool heel. He's not the heel that you cheer because, oh, he's doing a great job, he's cool, and I like him. You're like, this guy's being an ass. I mean, you really feel that way because I don't know about you, but I mean, I know some people that are vegans. I know people that are on social media that love to just tout that they're vegans, and look how much better I am than you because I'm a vegan. And it just feels that way. And Daniel Bryan has taken that to the extreme by just looking down on and the cars that we drive and the food that we eat and the process, you know, all of this, I'm right. Loving it. And to me, if I was at a live event, I wouldn't cheer this guy. I would actually boo him. He's coming across like a legitimate jerk and I'm loving it.
Yeah. And that's what I was at first when he first, when he won the title and turned on AJ, at first I was like, man, I don't know. Cause you know, he's another one of those, that feel good story that, you know, everyone loves Daniel Bryan, obviously the Yes Movement, all that. But I think what's going over so well for him right now as a heel is because what he's portraying and the persona that he's portraying to us on TV is believable. We know that is who Daniel Bryan is. Now, of course he's not that extreme in real life or, you know, that, you know, whatever, but you know, that is exactly what he believes in. He's just turned it up to 11. So I think that's why it's so easy to dislike his character right now, because you know, to his core, that's what he really believes in. So it's just, I think that's one of the lost arts right now in, like, character development is just, I have no reason to believe certain characters, you know? Like, I don't know why, like Steve Austin said in his podcast, I don't know how long ago it was, like, and don't get me wrong when I say this, I love Seth Rollins. He's, you know, in the ring, he's one of the best, but what is a Seth Rollins, you know? And I think that's what we've lost over time. And it's really unfortunate because I feel like it's a simple process to just sit down with these wrestlers, these guys, these girls, and just say, like, what motivates you and what are you here for and where do you see your character going? And then just go from there.
That is the essence of what, unfortunately, is the problem in today's WWE. And I think, you know, that has been the number one complaint is, oh, things feel too scripted. Everything feels too produced. And I think, yes. I mean, there's no question about that. Unfortunately, WWE has all these sponsors and so many masters that they have to serve, and it's a PG audience, so they got to be entertainment. Don't say wrestling. Wrestling's a dirty word. Even though sports entertainment isn't really a thing, what makes sports entertaining is wrestling. Sports entertainment is not a, it's not a thing. It's just like this umbrella that they like to capture everything that they do. It's bizarre. And so, I totally agree that this whole scripted era, you just said it, it's very simple to do, but the problem is you have these guys and gals on TV who are actors, who are wrestlers trying to be actors, and that is when I think the leaf falls off the tree and there's that disconnect. Instead of just letting these people, you know, hey, here's some bullet points, make sure you hit these bullet points, you're going to go out there and you're and be your whoever you think your character is, whether you're a babyface or a heel, doesn't matter. You can, you know, change the promo to fit that, but here are the bullet points you need to fit so that we follow the direction we want to go, and you fill in the blanks so it doesn't feel like I'm just thinking about the script I just read backstage and I'm making sure I hit all of the lines.
For sure. Yeah, and I think to touch on another wrestler who comes to mind with the whole story thing would be Bayley. Like in NXT, she was so good. Like she was just that lovable character. Like you knew how much she wanted to be there and how, you know, she's been a fan just like the majority of us since she was a child and all that stuff. And then when she gets to the main roster, like on Raw, like they could have kind of restarted that whole journey in a way for the people who maybe aren't as avid NXT followers as some others. But man, like just thinking of like Bayley and Sasha Banks now, it's just like, but especially Bayley, it's just a shame like how far they've fallen. And it's kind of scary because like for me personally, I'm at the point where like I don't want anyone to come up from NXT. I'm like, stay down there because it's just right now, unless I don't know what's happening with the shakeup, but it, you know, like just stay in NXT, man. Just that's the third brand. That's how everyone views it now anyway. So just flourish down there.
That's so funny that you say that. That, you know, people are scared now. It's like, you know, it felt like before we were excited. Oh, who's going to get this call up?
Yeah.
When is this individual coming up to the main roster? That'd be awesome to have them here. But now it's almost kind of the reverse where, please just keep them on NXT. I like who they are in NXT. You know, they seem to be more successful. It feels more real when they're on NXT because think of the individuals that they've absolutely destroyed when they come up to the main roster. I mean, who was the first one? I'm trying to think of the first few that were called up. What's his name? Apollo Crews. You had Apollo Crews.
Gosh.
And he, you know, burst on the scene. He was at the time kind of a Bobby Lashley-esque guy. Mm-hmm. He smiled a little bit too much for me. But, you know, I think that he had obviously the look that Vince McMahon salivates over. You know, he had that presence, but he never quite connected. And he's kind of gone into oblivion. I mean, you look at Apollo Crews, you know, and it's just something like that. It scares me. The Ascension. I mean, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
They're an absolute joke. I mean, so
yeah.
Bayley is one of the, I think, saddest cases that is an example of bringing the NXT roster up and not having a long term plan for them. Long-term booking, unfortunately, is not a thing anymore. I don't know what is going on with the booking. It's all just week to week. You see these stories online about Vince McMahon writing the show last minute or rewriting the show last minute, and all this. There's just no congruity. There's no rewarding the fans for paying attention to detail and making sure a story makes sense. And Bayley, who was one of the most over women in NXT, organically was excited when people brought her up, and she was the surprise partner. I forget who it was, Sasha Banks at one of the pay-per-views, and they brought her up. People went nuts, and then they bring her up, and they kind of go away from the Bayley character, where she's more of just this, well, yeah, I'm confident now, and I'm kind of a little bit of an edge, and that's not what got Bayley over in NXT. You know, I don't know. I'm with you on being fearful and very hesitant about bringing up NXT talent at this point.
Yeah, it's a shame. And just one other thing real quick on NXT, it's just what kind of like blows my mind and kind of ties everything in together, at least with like characters like Bayley, is just in a way sometimes I feel like maybe Vince, and I'm not even going to pretend to understand or like fathom how packed his day-to-day life is and his schedule, because like it's unbelievable, I'm sure, but it's kind of like he forgets that NXT is a part of WWE, and like they're calling like these wrestlers up from like independent territories, you know, like from an ROH or from like outside of WWE, where like they're literally in your company. Like, how can you not know how a character as simple as Bayley, in a way, all you got to do is make her the ultimate underdog? And it's just like, did you watch her in NXT? And if not, then why did you really bring her up, you know? And that can be said for a lot of them, but I don't know, that just kind of sticks out to me sometimes. It's just like, man, like, just how different, I guess, if we're just comparing Raw to NXT is, but it's just like, just night and day. It's just kind of unbelievable.
You don't need to reinvent the wheel, and sometimes Vince thinks he needs to reinvent the wheel with these individuals, and he doesn't. I mean, I think to me that the straw that broke the camel's back with Bayley, and then, you know, I just want to finish with Bayley, and then we'll move on. But
yeah.
Was when she was in that I think, I don't know if it was a TLC match or a Singapore cane match with Alexa Bliss, and she didn't have the guts to hit Alexa Bliss with the cane for the championship.
Right.
I mean, you don't have the backbone to do that after all these weeks of abuse, and obviously Bayley, This Is Your Life was a complete bomb, and we all know that. I mean, but things like that, it was a killer for me, and you know, I'll just end it there with Bayley, and hopefully, you know, as she says, they want to become the first ever women's tag team champions. I think that'll happen at WrestleMania with her and Sasha, and you know, hopefully from here, it can only go up from here for Bayley.
For sure.
One last thing before we get to TLC is, what is your prediction? And I know Raw is going on as we speak, but have you thought of what possibly Vince McMahon is going to announce or do or shake up? What is this whole Vince McMahon appearance? What's your prediction?
Oh, man. You know, I want to give it, like, a lot of positive thoughts and, like, just think of, like, how many different directions it could be taken, but... So part of me is trying not to get too excited for when I go home and turn it on tonight to see, you know, what actually happened. I think, obviously, with Baron Corbin, you know, losing his match last night, they're going to need, like, a new general manager. So I think they can go a lot of different directions with that. I don't know if they bring Kurt in or if they get someone completely fresh. Like, he could even, like, go crazy like a Matt Hardy. Like, I heard rumors about that, which I don't know how true that is. But, you know, just you could take that anywhere. But I think, obviously, like, the GM factor is going to play a big role, whether you really want it to or not. But and then maybe, like, another, maybe not a draft, but, like, maybe trade some wrestlers from SmackDown to Raw, or vice versa. And just maybe kind of revamp the Raw roster and maybe have, like, Becky and Charlotte, like, invade tonight, you know, with what happened with Ronda last night. But long term, I don't really know, like, because it's not the wrestler's fault per se. It's what they have to do backstage, you know. So he can say whatever he really wants to on Raw tonight, but if they don't actually implement it, if they don't actually believe that backstage and the people who are actually writing the shows, then I don't really know, you know. It could be good for like a – I'm sure they're going to get like a pop in their reading tonight with Vince being back. So – I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's hard. And some people probably think, oh, you guys are cheating. You're really watching Raw right now. No, we're really not watching Raw right now. I do not have a TV screen in front of me.
I'm actually at the gym right now, so I'm not watching Raw at all.
I hope. All right. Well, thanks for taking your time out of your gym. I know how important that is, and I'm the same way. It's an important part of my day too. But so yeah, with Vince, look, I think that it's going to be something. It's got to be something big. I think that it's something that Vince McMahon is—he's there for a reason. I don't think it's just for a short-term pop in the ratings. Every time a McMahon comes on the screen, I think in general ratings spike. But it has to be something more sustainable than just, oh, Vince is here this week, gone next week. I'll just say, if it's something like bringing back the Authority, I mean, that would be absolutely. I think people would scream and walk out of the building. But I think it is probably a shakeup in the GM and also a shakeup in the roster. I mean, to me, the heel Authority figure has really, really run its course. And I think it's time to bring in another babyface. As you said, Matt Hardy, I've heard of that. But to have Kurt Angle back, it's going to kind of be, well, we know what Kurt is. He was the GM of Raw for a year. It's kind of more of the same. So I think it might be maybe a dual co-GM with Kurt and another individual. And yeah, Baron Corbin out of power is a good thing to see as well. So, all right, so let's touch on TLC a bit. And I mean, there was, 13 matches if you count the pre-show. So I don't want to go in detail with every single thing. But okay. Overall, what stands out in your mind with TLC? What are your big takeaways from the show?
I mean, of course, I think, and again, what's probably, you know, the popular answer would be that main event, that triple threat TLC match. Man, that was just, some of the spots they took in that match were just unbelievable. And I think the one that I'll remember for a while is when Becky climbed up the ladder and I don't know what she was doing, maybe like a leg drop or something onto Charlotte, but in that table didn't give, and she landed right on Charlotte's stomach, man. When I saw that, like, I gasped. And I was like, oh, she's got to have broken ribs. She's got to be done, you know? So, obviously, definitely that. And the whole Ronda angle at the end, which I was kind of oddly, like, pleased with. I don't know if this is, like, a full-blown heel turn for Ronda, which you should expect because of how over Becky is, but... And I don't know if that leads to like a four horsewoman angle or anything like that, like right now. But you know, that was definitely, you know, I think that was like probably the best match of the show if I had to pick one. And then of course Daniel Bryan and AJ, that was probably the other best match on the show. But other than that, like I was kind of disappointed, you know, with like Seth and Dean. Like that wasn't really what I was expecting between them two, and I don't really know what happened there. And it could just be me, but. Yeah, I think that's what just thinking offhand sticks out to me. What about you?
Yeah, Seth and Dean, I mean, unfortunately, there was some kind of disconnect there. I don't know what was going on. I mean, these two had a pretty decent story going into this. Most people expected Dean Ambrose to win. I mean, I did because I know that Seth is probably being moved on to bigger and better things, and people are speculating it's him versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and all that. So maybe that's what the whole point of it was. And Dean winning the Intercontinental Championship, I think, was a good thing. I think that, sure. You know, Dean having a heel turn, you need some steam behind him. You can't just immediately pour cold water on it, so I'm cool with it. But yeah, that leg drop, that was one of those moments I literally gasped. I go, like, I kept waiting for the ref to put up the X sign or something. Like I go, oh my god, like Charlotte looked legitimately hurt, and that was rough. I got a little bit nervous about that. Obviously, as you just said, Daniel Bryan AJ blew the roof off the place. Do I think it was a 5-star match? No, but that was a damn good match. I really thought that both guys brought it. It was I think it went 20-25 minutes, but it didn't feel that long. I mean, they really, I think, did a good job of engaging the audience, telling their story, and they delivered on all levels. The only thing I think I have a little bit of an issue with is after all of that damage and all the 25 minutes of beating each other up, and Daniel Bryan wins with a roll up, and I was really, I mean, I guess it was just like, okay, he's a heel, but I don't believe, and correct me, but I don't think he even like pulled on the tights as like a cheating way to win. It was just a regular roll up. So after all that, he wins with a roll up. It was just like, okay, I expected Daniel to retain, and it's just going to be interesting though. Like, who does Daniel Bryan? Who does he go? What's the next program for him? Well, who's the next babyface that he faces on SmackDown on a roster that's super thin on babyfaces as we speak? I don't know. Rey Mysterio, maybe. But yeah, overall with TLC, I enjoyed it. Baron Corbin getting, you know, beat down, I enjoyed. Clearly though, with Braun Strowman coming out in an arm sling and not literally lifting a finger, only lifting a foot for the pin. Tells me that they did not clear Braun Strowman. Either A, they didn't want to put him in jeopardy, or B, he's nowhere near being ready.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised to see that too. And I think just maybe wishful thinking on my part, but you know, when he was playing up like, you know, he can get someone to replace him and all that, man, my mind just went to Bray Wyatt, because you know their history in the past. Like, I fully expected Bray Wyatt to just, you know, make his return and like babyface, because you know Raw needs babyfaces right now, so they're just kind of struggling, I think, in that department, especially with how over Drew McIntyre is. But I don't know, man. I was hoping for Bray, so hopefully he'll be back soon. But
and Bray's been teasing a new character as well too. I don't know if you've been seeing like his cryptic tweets. I don't know if that's something that, I mean, to me, he has to return as a babyface. He has played the heel since he has basically started. I mean, he was Michael McGillicuddy and the Nexus and all that, and obviously he went to Bray Wyatt and was a heel 99% of the time. So I mean, right now I think it is time for him to return as some kind of alter ego of sorts. Or just an evolution of the Bray Wyatt character. I don't think he'd come out and be like the Funkasaurus. I mean, I don't think he could do that. But something that is a natural evolution of the Bray Wyatt character is what I'm hoping for. And this is a chance for Bray Wyatt to really be repackaged and reboot.
For sure.
What'd you think? I just got to get your thoughts on the Ronda Rousey-Nia Jax match. What were your thoughts?
First of all, maybe I shouldn't say this, you know, on record or anything, but man, her makeup, like, just kills me. Rhonda's makeup, like, it's just, you're doing too much, girl. You just, like, she's, like, one of those naturally pretty females who's still the baddest at the same time. Like, you're just doing too much with the makeup. Like, it just always kills me each time, but that's always the first thing I know. It's just, like, God, what did you do with your eyeshadow, your lipstick, but whatever. The match itself, I was actually, like, kind of surprised. I think it was better than their first bout. I believe it was Money in the Bank, but... And Rhonda's improving so much, you know, regardless of what's going on, like, storyline-wise with her and Becky and all that. But I think she's improved so much, and she's just adapted to the wrestling world so quickly and just so well that each match I feel like she has, especially on pay-per-views, because I'm sure she gets that big fight feel, she's just really progressing. And I think just seeing, like, how she was jumping on Nia and all the reversals and the takedowns and all that, it was pretty decent. It wasn't the best match, and I don't think it was the best match that she herself has had in WWE, but, yeah, it was better than what I was expecting, because I was kind of worried that with Nia's heel turn currently that they were going to have her, like, try to, like, demolish Rhonda or anything like that, but... Yeah, it was pretty decent.
And people think that, you know, what happened with Rhonda tipping over the ladder with Charlotte and Becky in the final match of the night was a heel turn. I'm like, no. It's not a heel turn. I mean, you could make an argument for that, but the problem with that is I don't think Rhonda is done with her babyface run. I think it's losing steam a bit. I think, you know, you're starting to hear the boos in the crowd, and that's only when she's opposing Becky at this point, because, right. You know, I mean, you heard a little bit with Nia. She wasn't 100% over with the audience, you know, as far as Rousey goes, but I agree with the makeup, man. I mean, it's a little much. It's just, you know, especially when she puts that red over her eyes or under her eyes, like, gosh, she's some kind of Native American. I don't understand. I don't understand what this is. It's distracting. It's almost as distracting as Shawn Michaels' bald head. I mean, yes, it is, which I'll be honest. I mean, I know we're not talking about Crown Jewel, but man, I could not get past that bald head of Shawn.
Yes, me either.
It was too much. I have a shaved head, but like I look okay with a shaved head. He is just, it looks, I don't know, like an old man who lost his hair, tried to shave his head and trying to make it work. And I don't know. He needs the hair. He's Shawn Michaels, but
he does. He's just not the same guy. No. Man, that hair was Shawn. Like it was like a signature for him in a way. Like you think Shawn Michaels, you think the ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right? It seems his hair is actually a part of the way he wrestles. Like it just works with the motions he does and how he flips and does his, like, yes, everything. And when you take the hair away from Shawn, it's like a part of his arsenal. It's bizarre. So yeah, Shawn Michaels. I don't care if you have to get hair plugs, put a wig on. I don't something. Please, Sean, bring back your hair. Should we start a petition?
Yes.
So I don't know how I got on Crown Jewel, but so let's see what else. The only thing I want to touch on, and I will let you get back to your workout, is the tag team championships. And that is something that, and I'll just give my quick opinion and I'll toss it to you, is that, you know, the Usos and the Bar and New Day, they seem to be kind of interchangeable at this point as far as who holds the championship. I mean, I personally don't have a vested interest in who holds it. It seems like all three are just, to me, it's those three teams and everyone else. And it's just kind of like whoever holds it is holding it. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. I mean, they're all great athletes. I think they all have, you know, decent gimmicks, although the Bar seems to kind of morph into things that they maybe don't really fit in at times, but they're all, I think, very good wrestlers or performers. And so the bottom line is, I mean, okay, the Bar retains. I think they should have, just because I don't like playing hot potato with any championship. And so the Bar retains. And again, though, I think all three are interchangeable, which is a compliment and kind of a dig at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I think I kind of expected the Usos to win last night, just because I felt like they were going to go back to that New Day, Uso rivalry again, just because, you know, whether you're tired of seeing it or not, you know it's going to be a good match, so it's kind of easy to do right now. But then you just, like, you got to think, like, who else do they really have on SmackDown, like, tag team-wise, like, Insanity? Like, they could have done, you know, much more with what they're doing with them, but it's just, like, they're never even there. Like, the last time we saw them was when Nikki Cross came out, I believe, in the UK to fight Becky.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, Survivor Series? Were they involved in Survivor Series? Maybe not.
No,
maybe I don't remember for sure, but... But again, it's just like, and then the clones, talk about Survivor Series, like they just came out of nowhere because I forgot they were even employed. So, but it's just like, who else, like in the tag team division, is there? And I think that's maybe part of the problem too. And hopefully, if there is a shakeup tonight or whatever Vince plans on doing, that it benefits SmackDown as well, just to get some fresh faces in the tag division, so the bar can, you know, actually fight someone who's not New Day or Usos. Because I really don't know where they go at this point.
I don't know either. They seem to be just, they need other tag teams. It cannot be these three consistently. You have to have five, maybe ideally even six tag teams going at once that are at least, you know, formidable opponents for the champions. And right now it's kind of like, there's going to be some combination of the three at every pay-per-view. And it's like, okay, cool. You know, you're going to get a good quality match. But at the end of the day, do you really care who wins? Like, right. Like kind of, but not really. Like, I don't have a vested interest. So one last question, and that is, what do you think, and or what do you hope, if they're two different answers, is the main event of WrestleMania 35?
Ooh, well, being that I'll be attending WrestleMania, it'll be my first one. I am desperately hoping for Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey, and I don't want a triple threat. I just want it one on one. You know, I think the triple threat would be obviously good because they're all very good individually. So, and Charlotte, you know, say what you want about her, but she performs, and she's just one of those naturally, like, gifted performers out there. But I just think that right now is Becky's time, and they really need to strike on this. And Ronda, of course, is Ronda Rousey, so that it kind of gives them their, like, their celebrity-ish vibe that they go for during WrestleMania season. So I just think it's if they're serious about this women's evolution and allowing the women to main event at WrestleMania at some point, like, this was handed to them on a platter when Becky's face got broken. That's what we're gonna call it. But I just think it has to be that. And if not, because I don't know what else on the men's side, or even the women's side for that matter, is strong enough, unless, you know, I've heard rumors about, like, The Rock coming back, but, you know, with his movie schedule, I don't know how that would work and who would he face. And it's just, that's like a whole other dynamic in itself. But yeah, I think it's probably the easiest route at this point would be Ronda versus Becky.
Couldn't agree more. You know, I put out a tweet earlier today and I said it better not be a triple threat. What scared me is the finish of TLC, that, you know, you had Ronda cost both Charlotte and Becky the championship. And, you know, yeah, it seems like these three are on a collision course. And normally I'd be like, oh, that's a cool match to have. And of course I want to see it. From a storyline, unfortunately, it makes sense because of what Charlotte did to Becky, what Charlotte did to Ronda, and what Becky has done to Charlotte, and everybody's got a piece of the puzzle that fits. But I don't want it for WrestleMania. To me, this is one-on-one. This is all about Becky Lynch. It's Becky Lynch's year. Don't put Charlotte in there. It's, to me, it's not a math equation where adding more will mean a better result. I think adding Charlotte, as great of an athlete as she is, it's not going to add anything to the match. I think it's going to take away. The focus should be Ronda, and the focus should be Becky. Period. End of subject. And so, I hope they go that road. But I know Vince McMahon's, you know, just sometimes his logic and his vision of what a WrestleMania main event should be is a little bit skewed, and I just, to me, no. Take away the triple threat. It's Ronda, it's Becky, and I hope that's the way they go. Maybe it'll be Asuka and Charlotte on the side, and that'll be fine.
And that would be a good rematch from last year, you know, because if they're worried about what do you do with Charlotte, if you have just a singles match with Ronda and Becky, have Charlotte and Asuka, you know, have Asuka keep it until then. You know, if you need to have Charlotte win the Royal Rumble, go on to face Asuka, whereas Becky and Ronda are tied up with each other. You know, if you can keep it that separate, you know, for now. But I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, man, I'm definitely hoping Becky and Ronda for sure.
Exactly. I mean, there's no other way to do it. I think there will be a fan revolt if they do anything else. And it is the women's time. It's the women's year. I did not think we'd see this quickly a main event for WrestleMania be the women. But they are 100% deserving of it. Becky Lynch has caught fire, no pun intended. And she is the man. She is who she says she is. And I'm loving it, and especially on social media, she's just dropped bombs that
love it.
I know her and Corey Graves have had a little, you know, battle back and forth, and just the things she says, she's absolutely, she's destroying everyone on Twitter, and I'm loving every second of it. Well, listen, before we go, I know that you haven't been on the show before, so let people know, you know, what's your Twitter handle if you'd like them to follow you.
Yeah, so. Don't judge me. I got it when I was like in high school still. So it's of course the at symbol and it's the numbers 4SH73Y. Hopefully
awesome.
I'll be changing that soon.
Yeah, I know. It's funny the things that we hang on from, you know, high school that we're like, well, I'm never going to use this email. And then, you know, 20 years later, you're still using an email and you have to, like, tell people, yeah, it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's Backstreet Boys 142. Yeah, like, I mean, it's...
Exactly.
I know. It's just the way it goes. And unfortunately, yeah. So, well, if you end up changing your username, let me know and I will forward that on. But for now, that is... for better or worse, your username on Twitter. And listen, Ashley, it's been awesome having you on the show. Go get your workout in, and we will definitely have to do this again.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Keep up the podcast, man. I love it. I'm a rather new listener, but I'm quickly going back and listening to old episodes. So keep up the great work, man. You're awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, no, this will be this will not be the last time, that's for sure. So I appreciate
awesome.
You. I appreciate you listening, and take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, and that was Ashley, and again, that was an awesome conversation, one of hopefully many that we have, and I want to thank you guys for listening. It's been a pleasure to be able to provide you with this wonderful wrestling audio that you guys are listening to, and I appreciate all the growth lately on Spreaker, especially on, obviously, Apple Podcasts. If you have a moment, please rate and review me, and it does help out the show. Give me a 5-star rating if you think I deserve it. If you don't think I do, then please don't rate me at all. There's honesty for you. So, guys, thank you for joining me again. I'll be back later this week with Raw, with SmackDown, obviously Vince McMahon, shake up, and whatever that's supposed to mean. And, again, this will be a hopefully bi or tri-weekly show. So thank you guys for joining me. Please follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And as always, I'll talk to you next time. Have you ever watched wrestling on TV and felt disappointed? The long mic interviews, boring storylines, exaggerated drama. Do you wish there was less talking and a whole lot more action? Well, at Underground Wrestler, they deliver wrestling the way it should be. Muscle pounding, vein popping, sweat dripping, nonstop action. Whether you're into good old-fashioned mat wrestling, schoolboy pins, tie-ups, cradles, and submissions, or no-holds-barred and choking, at Underground Wrestler, they include multiple styles of wrestling matches for anyone to enjoy. Squash matches, theme matches, bear hug battles, big versus little, and sleeper matches, just to name a few. Their high-definition wrestling matches average around 20 minutes. That's longer than most matches you see on TV. They also offer more settings than just a regular wrestling ring. Their wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes, from the 5'6", 140 pounds to the 6'3", 320 pound individuals. One thing they all have in common is muscle. Models, athletes, bodybuilders, even world-renowned professional wrestlers joined in on the excitement. Ever wished of creating your own dream wrestling match? At Underground Wrestler, they can make that happen with their custom video series. You are in the director's chair picking the wrestlers, location, their costumes, and the script, including wrestling moves you want to see. Their staff will work diligently with you to help make all your wrestling dreams a reality. So check out the Underground Wrestler at patreon.com/undergroundwrestler. That's patreon.com/undergroundwrestler. And you can check them out on Instagram at Underground Wrestler. Also on Twitter at Underground WRE1. That's Underground WRE1. And also at their website at undergroundwrestler.com.